You've heard the story of the cursed shoes, right? Where a girl receives a special pair of shoes that possess the wearer's feet and forces them to dance forever? Of course it's just a fairy tale. There's no way there could actually be a pair of haunted ballet shoes out there, right? I once believed that too. I had a friend named Genevieve, and she was an amazing ballet dancer. She even looked like a dancer. Long black hair, bright blue eyes, and long, thin legs. She was a really nice girl, too. Never could say no. I was always the one to stick up for her. Anyway, she had a really big recital the next day, and she was a huge procrastinator. Of course, she waited until the very last minute to get an outfit. So me, being an amazing friend, took her to go shopping. She said she'd reward me with a movie of my choice. Well, we were walking and Jenny spotted what she deemed the perfect pair of shoes. But I wasn't so sure. Don't get me wrong, the shoes were beautiful. The shoes themselves were red with sparkles and the straps she tied them up were red silk. The shoes were fine. It was the place they were being sold at that I didn't like. The shop looked like one of those places you'd get a really convincing seance at. You know, those weird meetings where people try to talk to ghosts. The walls were purple with weird black markings, and the floor was a dark orange color. There were all sorts of books and knickknacks, and gadgets and such. The window display had different pieces of freaky-looking jewelry. The shoes were sitting next to a ring that supposedly turned your thumb green or something. Jenny was getting kind of freaked out by the store, so we picked up the shoes and hurried over to the front desk. It took a while for somebody to actually appear behind the counter, but the lady looked intimidating enough for me not to complain. She had long, tangled, beach blonde hair and a sharp, pointed face. Her gown was a royal purple robe that contrasted greatly with the bright green lace across her eyes. She grinned wickedly when she saw us.
"Well, hello there, dearies. What is it you would like from my fine little shop?"
Her sharp teeth gleamed in the low light.
"We would like to purchase these shoes," I said, as Jenny was obviously too scared to speak.
She cackled, a horrible witch-sounding laugh.
"That would be $25, sweetie."
$25 for a pair of stinking shoes? That's an out. Jenny grabbed my arm and gave me a look I'd never seen before. Fine, here.
I handed her the money, grabbed the shoes, and headed out of that store as fast as I entered it. And you'd best believe Jenny was right on my heels. We window shopped some more and finally found a dress to match the shoes. The dress was made of soft red fabric and had a red belt made of silk. We then started to Jenny's house for the movie. Now Jenny isn't one for scary movies, but I am. I had chosen the movie Dance for us to watch. It was a horror flick loosely based on the cursed shoes of a fairy tale. The cursed shoes from the movie looked exactly like the shoes we picked out. Dyed red from the blood of the wearers, the post had said. So I figured it would give her a nice spook before the show. It seemed, however, that my plan worked a little too well. Turns out the movie spooked Jenny so much she wouldn't even try on the shoes or the dress. Eventually, I got fed up with the games and left, which in hindsight wasn't a very good idea. I figured she'd be fine now that she was extra careful because of the movie. After a few hours passed, I did what I normally did on the weekends. I read some more, and wrote even more. I kept getting this weird feeling, though, like something bad was going to happen and that I shouldn't have left Jenny alone. I just pushed it down, thinking everything was fine and the movie was just getting to me. Then, at about 9:15 p.m., I received a text from Jenny. It was short, simple, and very confusing. It read, "Help. Studio tape." Studio tape? What was she talking about, the security tapes of the dance studio? What did she want to show me there? She was at her house, right? A million questions more ran around in my mind, but I trusted Jenny, so I hacked my way into the tapes. The first few hours were not that interesting. 3-year-olds learning to dance. Some kid got pantsed, and the janitor put on an amazing show after hours. But at 7:13, a figure walked out from the inky black. They placed down a burning candle, and I recognized it as Jenny in the outfit we bought. I started looking around and noticed, just out of the reach of the flame's light, a silhouette stood watching her. It bent down to the radio beside it and pressed play. A child's tune started playing. I recognized the tune, but I couldn't tell which song it was. Kookaburra sits in the old plum tree. Jenny started to dance, which I thought was strange, considering this wasn't the kind of music she usually danced to. The dark figure soon started to softly laugh, a familiar, high-pitched laugh. It struck a deep sense of fear into me. What was it going to do to Jenny? Mary, Mary, King of the Bush is he. The music started to speed up, and so did Jenny, dancing faster and faster by the minute. I could see the sweat glistening in the flame light. The laughing soon grew louder, and it sent shivers down my spine as I racked my brain as to where I had heard it before. Laugh, Kookaburra, laugh, Kookaburra. Jenny started to dance at inhuman speeds. I could tell it was hurting her because of how much she was shaking. The laughter and song were starting to give me a headache, but both were loud and neither could overpower the other. Gay your life must be. Suddenly, the figure raised their hand and Jenny and the music stopped. Slowly, they started to clench their hand into a fist, and Jenny's body began to convulse and writhe. Then abruptly, they brought their hand down and Jenny fell apart and fell to the ground. I held my breath. No, this can't be. Her arms were disconnected at the wrists, shoulders, and elbows, and her legs at the pelvis, knee, and ankle. Her head rolled from her body, and the skin over her right eye and forehead slid into the floor. The figure walked out into the light and looked straight into the camera. I realized in horror that this was the lady that sold us the shoes. The only thing that was different about her was the bright green lace was gone, revealing 2 purple glowing eyes. She grinned wickedly and held up Jenny's pink phone. I quickly closed the laptop and got out my phone to call the police. I jumped into my car and drove to the studio. I explained what had happened and what I had seen. I also showed them the text. 2 hours and a lot of crying later, I was back at my house and on my laptop. It was 12:30, and I'm writing down what happened as the last record of the events of yesterday. I leaned back and closed my laptop and sighed, thinking it was all over. A thumping sound from downstairs made me bolt right up. I reluctantly left the comforts of my bed and started to make the journey to the lower parts of the house. Once I arrived at the kitchen, I froze and backed up a few steps. It looked like Jenny. No, it was Jenny. The old hag had taken the different parts of her body, sewn them back together, and pumped it so full of blood that it was leaking out of the eyes. Her right eye had been replaced and now bright purple instead of blue. The doll. The Jenny doll turned its head and looked straight at me. To which I made a horrified squeaking sound and ran right back up the stairs and back to my bedroom, where I then locked the door and pushed my desk in front of it to block its path. I heard as the doll came up the stairs. Those stupid shoes must have given the dang thing super strength, 'cause it moved all that with a single push. I backed up against the wall, the doll slowly closing in on me. I quickly grabbed my phone out of my pajama pocket and dialed 911 once more. I closed my eyes and braced myself, realizing I was going to be killed by my former best friend's corpse. I heard a snap, felt a killer pain in my neck, and screamed bloody murder. July 30th, 2015. A series of murders began by the killer authorities are calling the Broken Doll. It is currently December 17, and there have been a reported 200 murders and growing. All of the victims are reported to have all the bones in their bodies broken, beginning with the neck. Their necks were also slit as for the killer to write the words, "Dance Doll," and the victims bled on the walls repeatedly. The search for this mysterious killer continues.